Good morning, everyone. It's good to be connected with all of you this way. I would prefer to be face to face, having the great fellowship that we always do. But unfortunately, the circumstances doesn't allow us. But we look forward to that time when we will be able to smile to each other and be able to interact and share the things that God is doing in our lives. Now, this morning, I would like you to have your Bible, if you have them. If you don't, please look for one and open towards the end of the Old Testament in the book of the minor prophet Habakkuk. I would like us to review that three chapters of this minor prophet. It's not a very common name. It's not easy even to pronounce, Habakkuk, but the three chapters of this particular book have incredible, encouraging words for us this morning. I know that we've been going through hard times, and so there are all kinds of questions in our minds about what's going on. And we trust in God that this morning He will allow us to find some answers to those questions. And at the end, we will be able to encourage one another with what we know. God already knows what's happening and what is going to happen tomorrow and what's going to happen at the end of times. I have spoken on this book before here at Northside Bible Chapel. I thought I better look for the outline so that I will not repeat myself. It turns out that I could not find it, the outline, because all our belongings are still in a storage place. We cannot find a home yet. And so there was no way that I can even review that. So I'm not going to repeat myself. It has been a great exercise for me to be able to read and reread and study again and be able to, try to find questions to answers to my own questions. So I'm looking forward to share with you what I have discovered as I have been preparing for this morning. So the book of Habakkuk, the message that we find in this small book of the prophet is for our times. We have been shaken by the number of issues that the whole world is facing in our times, to the extent that we are wondering and asking questions. How come this is happening to us? How come this is going on all over the world? How long is it going to take to go back to a normality? With all that is happening, what does it mean, especially to us, the followers of Christ, all the events that are taking place in our days? We may think that these times are unique to us, to this generation, but this is not true. It was in the 7th century, perhaps about the year 625 or so BC before Christ, when the prophet Habakkuk was also wondering about the realities of his world. All the turmoil, the immorality, the injustice. It was a time when ethical standards and family values were broken down. Just pretty similar to what's going on in our world today. The prophet also had a number of questions like you and I have these days. He needed at that particular time, because of what was happening in his context and his world, he needed a revelation from God, an understanding from God about his plan in the midst of those very difficult circumstances. He was confused. He was tired. He was worried, very uncertain. Quite frankly, he was frustrated. So to the extent of beginning to wonder, is God really involved in what is happening in our day? What do we do? And so his response to the whole situation, instead of continue speculating in his mind and in his conversation with his peers, he was a peer of the prophet Jeremiah at the same time. And I'm sure he got meetings with all the prophets, and they talk about all that was going on in the world, as we do ourselves in our days. So what he does is he enters into the presence of God, and he begins to pray. Actually, that's what the book of Habakkuk is all about. There are three prayers, three very important prayers in this book that will help us to know how to pray in difficult circumstances. In the first chapter of Habakkuk, we found exactly the prayer that Habakkuk brought before the presence of the Lord. This is where the Word of God says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is a strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked him in the righteous, so that justice is perverted." I don't know how you feel if you hear somebody praying this way, but to me, it is kind of a strange prayer, full of questions, and some even describe that the way that this prophet is praying to God is a complaint. And for sure it is, even those who put together the Word of God on the titles, that sometimes they give us an insight into what the passage represents. And in this particular place, we know this is that this is a complaint from the prophet. It is the first complaint. There is another complaint that we will see later on. It is full of questions, as you already noticed. I'm sure that in your prayers, probably you have also formulated these kind of questions in your minds. And perhaps they have been included in your prayers. However, this is the best way to deal in difficult times, in difficult circumstances. Bring your concerns before God in prayer. That's the best approach to deal with difficult times. Questions that we know, because we believe in the Almighty God, we have experienced this in the past in our lives, questions that will be answered by God. Because when you pray to God Almighty, and you do it in the name that is above any other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, the Bible says that He will answer our prayers. Whatever we ask in His name, it will be given unto us, so we can expect an answer from God. So the prophet prayed to the Lord, to Jehovah, the great I Am. And you know, when I was looking into this and realized that he began his prayer saying precisely, you know, "How long, O Lord?" He's addressing his prayer to the Lord Almighty. And it reminded me of King David. He also prayed this way. Do you remember on Psalm 13, he prays to God the same way that Habakkuk did. David says to the Lord, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" "Look on me," David said. "Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." Now, did God answer David's prayer? Did God answer Habakkuk's prayer? You better believe it. He did. In reality, the way God answers sometimes is not the way we would like him to answer. We're going to see the way that God answers Habakkuk's prayer. And to be honest with you, it is intriguing, it's challenging to be able to discover the way that God answers, or God's answer to the prayer, to the questions of the prophet Habakkuk. In the following verses of chapter 1 that we are looking at it, we find the description of what exactly God is going to do and how he's going to respond to the situations that the prophet has described in his prayer. This is what he says, starting in verse 6. God answering Habakkuk's questions. He says, in verse 5 to begin, actually, verse 5 says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you will not believe, even if you were told. Look at the nations, watch and be utterly amazed about what I'm going to do in your days. What is God going to do? What is his plan? What is he saying? I'm sure that at this point Habakkuk really pay attention to what God was saying. Of course, in those times, they could hear the very voice of God. We don't have that privilege, that opportunity, but we do have God's revelation. The same way that God revealed to through his voice to the prophets, to the people in the Old Testament, now God speaks to us, to our hearts, and we could hear his voice. We can sense the power of his answers when we read the word of God. He says in verse 6, I'm raising up the Babylonians or the Chaldeans, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They're a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture sweeping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at the rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on guilty men whose own strength is God. This is the answer that God gives. Habakkuk is confused, more confused than ever. Wonder, God, what are you saying? What are you saying, that you're going to destroy us? Are you saying that you're going to use our enemies, the evil ones, the ones who reject you, the ones who criticize us because we believe in you, the Almighty God? He's really confused now more than ever. But remember that God introduced his answer with that challenge, that the word indicating that he is the one at work. And he says, look and watch and be amazed about what am I going to do. But of course, this is not the whole revelation of God. We're going to find in the next chapters what is God really saying. But he has to look. What God is saying is, he says, you know, that expression that we normally use in our conversations, take a look, or take quickly look, you know, at something. But that's not only what God says, just look around, but what he's saying, watch, consider it. Yes, take a look at it, but also think about it, consider it. And be amazed, or in other words, be surprised. God's answer is so contrary to what you and I may expect, what the Lord said. What the Lord said, indeed, was amazingly surprising. He says, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to judge the whole kingdom of Judah using your enemies, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to practically destroy you. Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying. Now, it is a time for the Lord of the nations to exercise his righteousness, his holiness across the board. That time has come. Many years have gone by when God has given opportunity to his people to walk with him, to recognize that he was their God. The Lord had delivered them from the captivities. But now they're about to be captive again. And God is advising them of what is he going to happen. How is he going to work out a new liberation of a new captivity that they're going to go through? So now is the time for the Lord of the nations to exercise his righteousness, his holiness across the board. And the question is, how will you respond to this kind of answer, to this kind of actions, to these ways, the ways of God, which is not, are not our ways? We like to put God in a box, and we would like him to act in the way that will make us feel comfortable and peaceful and joyful. And all of that comes when you put your faith and trust in the Lord, when you are confident that he is the Lord of the nations, he is the Lord of history, he's displaying his plan before the human race, but perhaps we do not have enough discernment to be able to really understand the times that we live in then. How will you respond to this kind of answer? In the case of the prophet, he doesn't respond. Well, he does, like I do many times, so many of us do. He reacts and complains. And a second prayer. The second prayer is a second complaint. At this point, we will find that out in the later portion of this, the first chapter of the book of Habakkuk. At this point, the prophet is not responding with recognition and humility. He doesn't accept God's plans. He's amazed. He's in shock. You can sense his disappointment when you read the following prayer. He's truly surprised at what he has heard. Listen what he says now in his second prayer. O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. We will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then you tolerate that treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made men like fish and the sea like sea creatures that have not ruler. The wicked folk pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet, and so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net, he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? He's still wondering. He's still asking questions to God about the plan that he already has displayed and try to help him to understand. Fortunately, though, Habakkuk does realize and acknowledge who is he talking to. He beginning his first prayer, as you notice, how long, O Lord? And again, in this second prayer, he also begins acknowledging who is he praying to, the Lord Jehovah, the great I am. And he realizes that and appeals to the nature and the attributes of God. He could at this point perhaps cry out to God, have mercy on us, O God. He could have said, oh God, you know you are gracious enough. You are a loving God. You want the best for each one of us. We have failed you terribly, yes. We acknowledge you, we recognize that we have sinned against you. We have not kept your statutes. We have not kept your commandments. We live our lives the way we like it. We're just enjoying the goods of our times. But, oh God, you're a merciful God. Have mercy on us, oh God. But Habakkuk tries to reason. Instead of praying that way to God, he tries to reason with God. Nothing wrong to do that either. Sometimes it becomes unnecessary. It's one way of being able to help, to ask God to help us to understand his ways, to understand his plan for our lives. So Habakkuk tries to reason with God, describing, in the verses that we just read, describing the free will with which God created man and which perhaps has caused chaos in the whole realm of society, that he cannot longer take it. Having you try to do that sometimes, even when in our conversations, try to explain ourselves, trying to tell people what we think is really, really happening. But only God can answer. Fortunately, we have his word. We have the Bible. And in God's word, we can find answers to questions. In other words, directly from God. We don't have to look to the philosophers. We don't have to look to the quote-unquote experts of history. They help us. They give us insights. But the only ones that can give us the true, genuine, right answers is the Lord Almighty, the Lord Jehovah. Habakkuk is horrified with the unexpected revelation that he received. But at the same time, his faith is being challenged. We have been challenged ourselves for quite a while. What do we do when our faith is challenged? I'm borrowing from a book, it's called Adventure Through the Bible. And I found in this very helpful recommendations in this book of what we should do when our faith is challenged. Habakkuk's faith at this particular point was challenged. He was in despair. He was discouraged. He was desperate. He brings the situation of the world before God. God answers his questions. It's not the way that he would like God to answer. And yet, at the same time, God is encouraging him and is challenging him to believe that he is still in control. He's the Lord of history. He's in control of the nations. He knows exactly what he's doing. Like in our days, he knows exactly what he's doing. But here are four steps that this and this book recommends how we should respond at the times that our faith are challenging. First of all, it says, stop and think. Wow, isn't that very helpful? Sometimes we react emotionally. We let the emotions to take over. But it's good to be able to stop and reflect, especially when we have a source that has already given us insight into the signs of times. Stop and think. Secondly, restate the things that you know about God. Restate the things that you know about God. So doubt will not enter into your minds, but you can be certain of what the outcome is going to be. But thirdly, first stop and think, reassess your view, your perspective, your convictions, your beliefs in God and what God has said and your word. Thirdly, bring your knowledge of God to bear on the problem. Bear your knowledge of God to bear on the problem. So allow the teachings of God, allow the principles of the Word of God, allow the standards established in God's Word to really become internalized, incarnate, and live out throughout your life. And finally, be patient. I don't know about you, but that's a very difficult thing for me to do. In times like that, when I'm challenged, when I think I should make fast decisions, when I should take action, when I have to respond to a certain situations, how difficult it is to me to be patient. I don't know about you, but perhaps it's my personality. But these are the ways that this book encourages us to be able to deal when our faith is challenged, when we are in difficult circumstances. This is the best way to respond. Now, you have to give credit to the prophet Habakkuk. He was restless for sure, but he did stop, and he thought about the realities of his time. And for sure, he did not give it up. As you read the whole three chapters, you realize he did not give it up. He was there. He was not going to let God go until he understood exactly what God was saying he was going to do. It sounded strange that God, first of all, would say that he was going to use the enemies to be able to bring justice into the world, and use the enemies against God's people, against the nation of Israel, against Judah, because they have walked away from God. They have allowed the elements of the new culture, if I may, the new world that they were living in under the dominion of the Assyrian Empire at that particular time. They have allowed all that to infiltrate their lives. And he saw the results, and so he's in despair, and he doesn't know what to do. So he wants to understand what God is saying when he answered the question that he did. So we move into chapter 2 of the book of Habakkuk, and we find some interesting words there as he continues to seek for God's revelation. He says in verse 1, I will stand, verse 2, I will stand on my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me, and what answer am I going to give to this complaint? I can understand now why those experts on the text will acknowledge that this was not just a common prayer, but it was an actual complaint. And it's interesting because most of the prophets, as you know, they receive a word from God, and they will impart to God's people. That was their role, to wait to receive a word from God and then impart to God's people. But in this case, it's the contrary. It is the prophet coming, taking the initiative, and bringing. Let's put it this way: bringing God's people's feelings and thoughts and circumstances, bringing before the Lord Jehovah, bringing before Him, and as a complaint. And so it's a valid thing, especially in our days, to be able to intercede for one another, to pray for one another, to pray for the world, to pray for the circumstances that people are living in. We think that we have it bad, but if you go around the world and see what is happening, man, your heart is broken. We should be able to be sensitive to what is happening. And it seems to me that Habakkuk, a man who had a fear of God, was so sensitive that he was willing to pay the price of breaking, if I may, bringing paradigm shift into the way that God did with the prophets and the prophets with God, and he brings the condition of the world before the throne of grace. You have to give credit to this prophet. He was restless for sure, but he stopped and thought about the realities of his time, and for sure he did not give up. Every time he prayed, he expected an answer. Every time he prayed, he expected an answer. He humbled himself. He could not understand, but he knew God is the mighty God, so he decides to patiently wait for God to reveal the truth behind his plan. I will stand at the watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me, and what answer am I going to give to this complaint. And while he waits for the answer to his second complaint, he takes some action. He's no longer to dwell in the situation. He's going to go away from the problem for a while. I'm going to be still, in other words, he says. He's going to go to the walls of Jerusalem. He's going to go to the vigilant tower. And he's just going to stand there. And perhaps from the physical point of view, he was going to be still waiting to see when the invaders begin to arrive and perhaps run into the city of Jerusalem and advise his brothers and sisters, his peers, and let them know this is the time when God is making to happen what he said he was going to do. And then it reminds me of this response from Habakkuk, situation he puts himself on the tower reminds me of Psalm 46:10. It says, "Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the whole earth. Isn't that exciting? That you can rest at peace even when the circumstances are at the worst, the most difficult. You can trust in God, exercise faith, stop and think, just rethink your view of God, your beliefs in God, being able to digest all of that, bring into your daily experience, and be patient, waiting for God's answer to you, to your concerns. This is he is at the top of the tower of diligence and patiently waits. God's answer, of course, came the second time also. There was an answer from the Lord, and he told him what was going to happen. And he said, basically, that God gives him some instructions as you can notice there if you have your Bibles in chapter 2. Then the Lord replied in verse 2, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. What is God saying? First of all, as you wait, spread the word. Spread the word of what I have just been telling you. And my brothers and sisters, that is exactly what we need to do. In these difficult times, we have to spread the word. Spread the word of hope that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Spread the word of love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Spread the word. What I have told you is the truth, God said to Habakkuk. It is going to happen. There's an appointed time. It has a message. It has a message. It speaks of the end. God may give us wisdom to be able to discern the times in which we live and be able to share the message of God, the message of hope, the message of peace, the message of forgiveness, the message of mercy that we find in what Christ the Lord accomplished at the cross of Calvary. You must wait for it. And while you wait, remember this principle also, the Lord said to Habakkuk. Remember this principle, the righteous will live by faith. Wow, that's a tremendous statement and a word of encouragement that God gives to Habakkuk and also gives to us. He's reminded us that in times like these, we shall live by faith. Don't give up, keep on. And his answer, God also describes the character of the enemies, their works, and their destiny. This time, God's judgment is upon the evil ones and their actions. God is displaying his sovereign plan, which always intends and makes sure that no matter what, his good eternal purposes will turn into a great blessing for those who fear him and wait upon him. There is an awesome promise that has partially been fulfilled, but soon will also be an experience for all of us who believe in God and are faithful followers of Christ our Lord. Verse 14, listen to what the promise says. In the midst of all the circumstances, in the midst of this invasion of all these warriors that are coming to take over, to destroy, God says, remember that while I'm doing this, while I'm judging, while I'm exercising my holiness, my righteousness, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. Isn't that amazing? That behind all these negative things, all these events that are taking place, not only in the times of Habakkuk, but now in our day, in our days, in our 21st century, this is what is going to happen. It has already happened in the time of the apostles, in the days of the beginning of the church, as they went around spreading the word of God. very clearly, they filled the earth with the glory of God. And so we can say, with the glory of God. So while you wait, God says to the frater and to all of us in similar situations, he actually requests that the whole earth, all the peoples, the whole realm of humanity will remain silent. Isn't that interesting? How can you do that when you're facing all these situations, all these unusual events, unexpected, though we were told that these things will happen? God will say, remain silent. Some people have called this portion of a scripture the call to a global silent. And in a way, this is what has happened in our days and in our world. There is not much that we can say, can we? Except proclaim the good news about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, about why Christ came into this world, what he did on our behalf, the promises about his return, his coming again. And we pray, yes, Lord Jesus, come soon, because we're waiting for you. While we wait, there are times like this when we have to remain silent, not to question God, not to question about his ways, when we are in doubt why a loving God will allow these things to happen. We should depend on him who is a God of grace and love and mercy and holiness. Then we arrive to chapter 3, when this will close. Finally, this faithful follower of the Lord Jehovah looked and watched it as he was amazed with God's plans to judge both the just and the unrighteous. He's at peace and prays again the third prayer. This is a different kind of prayer. We don't have time to be able to go through it. It's not the same as the first prayer or the second prayer. Now, all of a sudden, it clicks in his mind what was going on, what God is allowing to happen for the good of his people. No more complaints you find in this third prayer. Now he stands in awe, and he cries out to God. Listen to what he says in chapter 3 and verse 2. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Oh Lord, renew them in our day, in our time. Make them know in wrath and remember mercy. Of course, Habakkuk is thinking about the times when God delivered God's people from the captivity in Egypt. And while during the desert, God will provide for them and will deliver them from a very precarious circumstances. God was always there. So he cries out to God and says, renew them. Renew your works. Renew your manifestation of your power and your love. Do it again, O God, he's saying. In our time, do it now. And he cries out for mercy. Now the prophet, in his own words, describes the revelation of how God was going to intervene and destroy, judge, and clean up the evil doings of the invaders. As Habakkuk stopped and thought about all that was already happening in his world and what was coming, he was in real shock. He was trembling. His heart was pounding. His lips quivered. He felt as his bones were decaying, his legs tremble. He was totally dismayed. What a picture of a man who feared God and tried to understand God's ways, but at the same time was hopeful, because he knew that God was going to do a marvelous work throughout the world. He had a mixed emotions, like you and I do, and during these times. He could picture the destruction, but now he could also see the potential of a great revival. For that, he says, I will wait patiently. And we also wait patiently for the day of the Lord, when he will return, for the day when he will take us and we will be in his very presence and enjoy the beauty of all his majesty, all the glory of God, before the throne of grace, see him face to face, or the day when he will return and change things forever and ever. Even if everything is destroyed and we are left with nothing, that's what the message of this chapter is. Even if everything is destroyed and we are left with nothing, in the midst of a deserved calamity, no peace, no food, in the midst of war and its consequences, he decides to take a stand and not to complain or to reason and challenge God's ways. Instead, now, Prophet Habakkuk, he rejoices in the Lord, and he will rest and depend in the sovereignty of the eternal God. We thank God that we can also do the same. Expect the best from God. Yes, these are tough times, very difficult times, but we should follow the example of this prophet. He says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights." Yes, my brothers and sisters, he enables us to go on the heights. And we wait for that time where we will be able to enjoy fully the blessings of God. And we will tremble, yeah, perhaps because we will be before the Almighty God. But in our hearts, we will rejoice. And I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul, who says, "Rejoice in the Lord. Yes, I say it again, always rejoice in the Lord." If you don't know the Lord this morning and have the opportunity to experience the peace of God, the forgiveness of God, the joy of the Lord, I encourage you this morning to put your faith and trust in the only one that can save your life, that can give you the hope, and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life at the cross of Calvary. May God bless you and transform your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you, God, for revealing us in your word, your plans, what took place, what is taking place now, and what it will take place in the future. We don't understand it all, oh God, but every day of our lives, as we spend time in your word, as we spend time in prayer, as we spend time reflecting, and as we patiently wait for for your plan to display every day of our lives, oh God, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is in charge of our lives and is working in us and through us. And Father, we do pray for every single human being in this world today that are going through a difficult time because of what we've been facing in the last few months. But it's not time to despair. It is time to believe that you are the God of history and that you are in charge. We thank you, God, for that those who have believed in Christ are temples of the Holy Spirit, and we have the indwelling Christ in our lives, and that is our encouragement of God. He sees what we see. He feels what we feel. He helps us to learn about what he knows. And Father, we just look forward to the time when we will be delivered from all the evil and we will be in your holy presence. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.